Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crimeverse. I am Danny, and I'm joined with
Glory.
That is correct. And today we have another serial killer for you, a Colombian serial killer, because, you know, we've got to shake things up a little bit. And his name is Pedro Alonso Lopez. Right. I feel like you could say it better with an accent.
No, we're not doing that today. But, thank you.
No, but you do accents so much better than me. If I had to try to put a Spanish accent on, I'll sound like I'm speaking German.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. We don't need to do the accents.
No, why? No. You always want to do the accents. And now when I ask you to do the accents, you don't want to. See,
yeah, because you always fight
with
me about my accents. So
sorry,
you can do without
when
an
do
accent.
When do I fight
today?
You with your accent?
Every show.
No.
Yeah.
No. And you know what? You will just be in a conversation and suddenly you'll be British. And I'll be like...
I don't even do that anymore.
You do. You did it the other day.
All right.
It's like his spontaneous little thing that he likes to do when he's bored with his life. No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
What? You've got to keep things interesting. I feel like I made him at a loss for words.
Yeah, you did.
Well, Pedro Alonso Lopez was known as the monster of the Andes. And he is a convicted Colombian serial killer who is believed to have murdered more than, guess how many people?
100.
300.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guys, this is what we talk about when I mean a proper serial killer. Not that person who killed one person every year for 11 years. No. No. This
but
is not
almost
the same standard.
Wow.
It's not. That's like a 40% serial killer. This guy, 100% on his exam. I'm just.
I'm starting to wonder if I shouldn't be concerned.
What are you going to be concerned about?
I'm just shaking.
Oh, it's fine. I see how it is. So, Lopez was born on October 8th, 1948. I'm pretty sure my gran was born in 1948. I think I could be very wrong, but I'm pretty sure. And it was in Santa Isabel, Colombia. His father, Medardo Reyes, was a member of the country's right-wing party who was killed in La Violencia, the armed conflict of the era that would have repercussions for years to come. Lopez's mother, Benilda, was 3 months pregnant with her son at the time of his father's death. So obviously he was born without a father. And Pedro, who was reportedly the seventh child among 13, my word, 13 siblings. Never in a million years. I'm not ever going to push out 13 children, I'm just saying. Was polite as a boy and wanted to be a teacher, according to his mother. So he had a bit more humble beginnings. The past few weeks, I feel like we've had people who've had very crazy childhoods. So he's had a little bit more of a, I don't know, relaxed childhood, if I can say it like that. But Lopez later said his mother was physically abusive and a sex worker. Never mind.
Yeah.
I spoke too
maybe
soon.
Maybe not in the mall childhood.
I spoke too soon, guys. I'm so sorry. Who was also assaulted by clients. Some reports have claimed that he was kicked out the house by his mom after fondling a younger sister, while other accounts say he ran away, so it's not really clear. Lopez traveled to Bogota, the capital city of Colombia, where he became one of the homeless children known as gamins. He eventually joined a gang and smoked bazuco, which is an impure form of cocaine. I just learned something new. While on the streets, a stranger approached Lopez and offered him a bed, but instead took the youngster to an abandoned building and sexually assaulted him. Okay, yeah, I really spoke too soon when I said he had humble beginnings.
Yeah.
Clearly not. When he was 10 years old, Lopez said that an elderly American couple found him on the streets and gave him a home. Good on you. Enrolling him at a school for orphans. But while there, Lopez was molested by... Oh my gosh, you see, I don't understand. You're supposed to be the teacher who is looking after these kids. And then you do funny things. Guys, you are the scum of the earth. I'm just saying. He was molested by a teacher when he was 12 and ran away once again. Lopez eventually went on to speak about wanting vengeance for his suffering as a child. Having grown up on the streets, Lopez was arrested at 21 years old for stealing a car. Soon after his imprisonment, he was raped by at least two men and in retaliation killed his attackers with a makeshift knife. Accounts differ on whether he received additional jail time for the murders. Upon his release from prison, it is believed that Lopez started to seek out young girls, usually of indigenous background and limited economic means. He made his way to Peru, where he would lure his victims to remote areas, committing rape and murder, later reporting that he murdered dozens during the mid to late 1970s. Because obviously, if these girls are like homeless or have low economic background, no one reports them missing. You can get away with thousands of killings without anybody picking it up. An indigenous background, he's probably speaking about people who from like the Aztecs, the Incans, the Mayans descent in South America. So Lopez was caught by the Ayachocos community. I'm so sorry if I, that sounds like a very native South American like tribe. When he attempted to kidnap a 9-year old with a group submitting him to tribal law and attempting to bury him alive. Well, I suppose that's one way to handle a criminal. Bury him alive. Because I suppose if they're one of those like tribal communities that live out in like remote rural areas, they don't necessarily adhere to the law of the country. I don't know if that makes sense. Like they have their own laws and systems, if I can put it like that. So they probably, like, if they caught him, they weren't going to take him to the police. They're like, okay, put him in the ground. A Western missionary convinced the tribe members to turn Lopez over to the Peruvian police. No, man, they should have just buried him. I feel like that would have been more sad. No, I'm kidding. Who they promptly deported him back to Colombia without truly considering the crimes inflicted upon the natives and the danger posed to society. So basically, this tribe caught him, gave him to the police, and they just deported him. Whereas, you see, that's why we probably don't have an accurate number of people he killed, because the Peruvian police didn't do any investigation. They were just like, get out. Bye. So Lopez continued his murders and by the late 70s had made his way to Ecuador, where scores of girls began to go missing as well. Families tried to find the girls on their own, with one mother putting ads in the newspapers about her missing daughter. In the Ambato region in 1980, vendor Carlina Ramon and a group of her peers caught him in Ecuador when he attempted to lure Ramon's daughter from a busy market. Once Lopez was in police custody, he initially refused to cooperate with authorities until investigator Pastor Cordova Gundo, went undercover as a fellow inmate. Gaining Lopez's trust, he was able to get a confession from Lopez as well as details about the sites where he had buried his victims. Police ultimately unearthed 57 bodies. Wow. Coupled with his confessions, Lopez was charged with 110 murders. He claimed to have been responsible for around 200 more deaths in the neighboring countries of Peru and Colombia. On July 31st, 1981, 33-year-old Lopez pled guilty to the 57 murders and was imprisoned in Ecuador, where he was officially diagnosed as a sociopath. Because of Ecuador's laws, Lopez only received a maximum sentence of 16 years. You see, this is what I don't understand. Like, how can you have a maximum sentence? Like, 16 years is nothing, if you ask me. If you go to prison at 20, you're out by 46. He was charged with 110 murders and he got 16 years.
16 only.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
That and apparently it caused huge public outrage.
That right there should be death sentence.
No, I actually, for once, I agree with you on that. That's why they should have been buried by the tribe people in the dirt.
Yeah.
There you go. But Ecuador actually later changed their maximum prison years to 25, which I still don't think 25 years is enough. Like, if you go to prison for life, go there till you die. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
On August 31, 1994, Lopez was released from the Garcia Monero prison after serving 14 years, having been released 2 years early for good behavior. I also don't get this good behavior thing. Because people can act all nice in prison and then go out the streets and kill someone else. But I'm just saying. He was deported to Colombia, where authorities attempted to convict him of 2-decades-old murder, but instead Lopez was declared insane and in 1995 was institutionalized at a psychiatric facility. In February 1998, he was declared sane. How do you be declared insane and then declared sane later on?
Mm.
Is that even possible? I suppose with medicine. I don't know. And he was released for $50 bail with additional stipulations. He visited his elderly mother, who said he asked for his inheritance. Prodigal son, I'm just saying. And then upon being informed of her poverty, sold her soul bed and chair to people on the street.
What?
Wait. Like, the prodigal son in the Bible is bad. But this, this is like a whole new level. You go to your mom. I want my inheritance. I don't have any inheritance. Okay, give me the bed that you are lying on and the chair in the house, and I'm going to sell it. That's another level of cruelty. Yeah,
I don't know what to say to that.
Are you telling me this person was deemed sane? I'm just saying. Lopez then vanished, with concerns having risen about his possible connection to a 2002 murder, and his whereabouts are unknown, and he has never been found again. So this man could be running around. No. What? He'd be like 80-something. Yeah. This man could be running around now instead of being buried in the dirt. I'm just saying. I feel like the tribe should have had their way.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But I find it very fascinating because he was sexually abused by men. A lot of men.
Yeah.
But he went off to girls. Do you know what I'm saying? Because, like, people like Jeffrey Dahmer and stuff, where they often have, like, sexual abuse in the past that's come from males, they then retaliate again
towards males. Yeah.
So, to retaliate towards girls, especially small girls, maybe they were just easier for him to catch.
That's what I think. Yeah. You know?
It's kind of like... But it really shows how sexual abuse can mess a person up.
Yeah.
It really shows. Because often, we find serial killers who've had sexual abuse in the past.
Yeah.
It's... Especially to the young boys, and especially when it's male. So, guys, yeah. And I totally believe he could have killed 300 people if they convicted him of 57 in Ecuador alone. Imagine how many were in Peru, Colombia, and how many he's committed since. I mean, he's disappeared off the face of the planet. No one knows where he is. He could be killing at his will, and no one knows.
Yeah.
So that's why I say, like, people like him, there shouldn't be a release from prison. I'm just saying. But that is Pedro Alonso Lopez, the monster of Andes. And I think, like I said, terrible criminal. But is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, just on that, because, you know, I don't know how, but I think also the part where he went to get his inheritance, it sort of reminded me of something that I saw last week on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I saw last week on Twitter. It was it's in South Africa. Some dude, he's a young man. I don't know who took this video and how or why, but the video was taken of him, like, assaulting his grandmother. I don't know exactly what the argument was about, but they were in the kitchen. And I don't know if he cooked something or she cooked something.
Your little granny.
Yeah, and he was literally standing in front of the stove by the pot. And she said they were exchanging words. And then he, like, hit her, like, properly hit her. She even fell to her knees. But then I heard about him being arrested. I didn't really do a lot of investigation into the situation. And then just the day after seeing it, on that same evening, I saw a picture of him. And he looked like he was beaten up. And the caption was, the community like took justice on him.
Well, I feel like that happens in a lot of the more rural areas. Yeah. Like the tribe in Peru would have wanted to take matter into their own hands, because in those areas, they do kind of have their own system of justice, their own system of law. They don't like I said, they don't necessarily adhere. I mean, they're in Peru, but they don't really adhere to the Peruvian government. I mean, if someone steals one of their, I don't know, llamas, they don't go to the police. They sort it out within their community.
Yeah.
And I feel like that makes sense. I've often heard where, I remember there was a time, I don't know if it's still a thing, where if something gets, I remember my cousin telling me this, that if you were in town, so Johannesburg, the CBD, and someone like grabbed your phone or your purse, there was like a word you were supposed to shout, and then the community would like run after the guy.
Yeah, there's a word that they shout.
I don't know what it is,
it's
though.
The word is Vimba. So someone will shout Vimba. It's a Zulu word. It's kind of like a key word or something like that. I don't know what to describe it as in English. But when you say that word, people now will look out for the thief. It's like saying stop him.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, if they get their hands on that person, ish, there's not much you can say what was to happen.
Because I also saw in they found the remains of a 6-year-old girl in Mpumalanga yesterday. And it was an 18-year-old boy who had killed her.
Yeah.
6 years old. I mean...
Yeah, that's messed up.
Like, that's totally... And I feel like something in... Like, it's also quite in a rural part of Mpumalanga. Yeah. And I feel like the community will then...
Yeah.
Have a bit of a say on what happens to him. But, yeah, I feel like... Yeah, this thing of, like, going to prison, getting out on good behavior. I don't know. If you go to prison and you've killed someone... Go for life. You forfeit your life by killing that other person. And especially people who just go on killing sprees, you've taken loved ones from so many people. Yeah. What? I don't then think you deserve the right to come and enjoy yourself out in society.
I don't disagree with getting out on good behavior. I just don't think it should apply to everyone.
No, I agree. Like, if you just... I don't know, if you rob Checkers, which is a grocery store in South Africa, if you rob Checkers and, I don't know, you get 2 years in prison, that's something I can be like, okay, good behavior. Especially if it's like a first-time offense.
Yeah.
And maybe you really just, now you've learned your lesson. There's a difference. But firstly, repeat offenders should not be allowed out on good behavior.
Yeah.
And people like mass serial killers or like, you know, people who often do like, a lot of armed heists,
yeah,
or like gang,
yeah, definitely
big
not armed
gangsters
heist,
and stuff like that. Those people, which we know are troublesome, should not be allowed to get out on good behavior.
You know how many times I've seen like in the neighborhood where I live, like there's like small time criminals. They're not even like big criminals or anything like that, but they like rob people on the streets and they target like more like younger people, like youth, because obviously they know they can take advantage. But also, if they catch you like at night, whether you're adult or not, they rob you. But I've seen so many people like that, like they disappear for a while and they've gone to prison. But then next thing is just a few months down the line, they're back out, and I'm like, huh.
But that also becomes a problem when you've got such a high crime rate, because you'll probably find out prisons would be overcrowded.
Yeah.
And then they do want to get people out as soon as possible. But I do think repeat offense, or like. But the prison by my house, there's like two sections. There's your petty crime and then there's like your serious crimes.
Yeah.
Those serious crimes, I don't see how they should be like allowed.
Yeah.
Like good behavior. The petty crimes, okay, it's a bit more like negotiable. But like people who, serial killers, serial rapists, abusers, like if a woman has called the police about... 6 times about her husband beating, that man should not get out of prison.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Because also with those serious crimes, a lot of it would also have to do with psychological impact.
Yes.
And
trauma.
So therefore it's not logical to let them out, because who's to say that they actually are cured?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. This Pedro little man's, He goes to a psychiatric facility and they decide after 3 years he's now sane.
Yeah.
You don't understand. Sociopaths, their brain is wired to manipulate people.
Yeah.
Okay? They are incredibly good at it. That's why they'll often say sociopaths are people you don't expect. They'll be like your neighbor or a high CEO type of person. They know how to manipulate. So they know how to manipulate their behavior to be like, oh, okay, he's got good behavior. He can now be let out.
Yeah.
But this, like I said, this guy has been missing since about 2002. What's that, 22 years? He's either dead. But I have no doubt that if he's still alive, he has killed more people and just... Now he's been in prison and he's had all that time to think. He now knows what he did wrong and how to get away with it.
Yeah.
I mean, killing 300 people and only going to prison for 16 years. I mean, that's like...
Yeah.
He should have died in prison. Should have died in prison. I have no... that's it. Live out his life. Let him go and do what he needs to do. Because I know they often got labor and stuff in prison where they actually have to do work and stuff like that. Let him suffer and whatever. But he should not have been let out on the streets, especially someone who has been declared a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like, hello, what is that? So I definitely think there is a lot of questions and debates surrounding jail time. I don't even know the laws, what it is in South Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, one case that I know I've got two things I want to say before. Like Oscar Pistorius, he killed his girlfriend. He is already out. He killed her in 2014.
Yeah, but we know the case with
that. Yeah, but I know. But do you get what I'm saying?
And it was definitely not on good behavior.
No, that's... he's literally on house arrest living in a mansion. That's his prison time. What is that?
Yeah.
What is that? That's not prison time. That's living a luxury life. And the second one that I also don't agree with, which we had... because we recently had elections and the face of the one party is our former president.
Yeah.
And he was actually jailed for corruption, right? I don't understand because I then said to my dad, surely if this party had to win the election, surely he can't be president. And my dad said, no, after 5 years, he can. After he's been out of prison for 5 years, you're allowed to run. So I don't know if that's such a good idea.
Yeah, look. On political matters, that is a whole other kettle of fish.
Because no, but you get what I'm saying? We could literally have people who were in prison for theft or murder, and then after five years, they now can run for
president. Picture this. This is the former president, right? Jailed for corruption. Now, how many of our politicians are corrupt? So imagine them trying to deny him of... the ability
I know, because they're doing the same thing.
They're doing the same thing. And how much stuff could he then
do? No, I get that. But I think that at least the fact that he was tried for the corruption and actually sentenced and found guilty, that should have then been...
And
like,
did he go to jail?
He did for a couple of years, but not long.
Okay, I'm just checking.
5 years.
I'm just checking because I don't know if you're talking about the time when he was sick and went overseas.
No, he was in prison, then he got sick, then he got out.
Yeah, oh yes, I remember.
Right. So, but my thing is the fact he was found guilty of the corruption. We know there's a lot of corrupt politicians, but they haven't been taken to court. There hasn't been a trial, right? I'm just saying, in our system, if someone is tried for corruption and found guilty, that should be the cut off.
Yeah.
Get out. Don't come back. You're not allowed back. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you get, like he must go work at McDonald's.
What? Wow.
Or other convicts. A lot of convicts struggle to find work because of their criminal record. A lot of them. And some of them truly have changed and they really struggle to find work. So he must also struggle to find work. He must go work at McDonald's.
Wow.
I don't think McDonald's would hire him. Because I know Ramaphosa owns a lot of the McDonald's in South Africa. So I don't know if they would hire him. But then KFC's fine.
Yeah.
But that is all for this week's show. We really hope you enjoyed and we really hope you have a fantastic week. Otherwise, we will see you back same time, same place next week. Goodbye.
Bye.